And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
How y'all doing tonight? Y'all must be probably Baptist or former Baptist. You're not afraid of the water. You came out tonight in spite of all the threats of storms and everything. I do want to announce, Betsy asked me, she's sick tonight, and asked me to announce, please, that they're going to have a youth meeting at their house Saturday at 4 o'clock. And there it is. Okay. And so youth to come to their house, and parents are invited to be there. And so that's this Sunday, rather. This Sunday. Is that right? Sunday at 4. Okay. So I want to make sure I said that. Hold on 1 second. I need to take this staple out. Good. Thank you. Thank you for the board there. Thank you, brother. I need some little markers on it. Oh, good. Good job. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Does everybody know our Minister of Maintenance, Esteban? He does an outstanding job for us. Did you see our new sign out the front there? We had the lighted sign there. That was his doing. So he's a man of many skills. We're very blessed to have Esteban and Josie with us. We're at Psalm 91. I want to encourage you. Huh? You have. Psalm 91. Oh, okay, man. Good. I want to encourage you tonight to meditate on Psalm 91. Meditation is a form of just going over something over and over and over. Memorizing is different. Meditation is just going over it and over and over, and you'll memorize it automatically if you learn how to meditate. And here's one of the little secrets that I do. I carry a little 3x5 card with me almost every day where I go, with some scripture that I'm meditating on. It's maybe something God's highlighting to me I'm going to preach about, but like Psalm 91. And what I do is I write down the first letter of every word on there, just the first letter, after I've gone over it enough to where I'm familiar with it. And it kind of looks like this. This is the first 8 verses of Psalm 91. Can't you read that? It's as simple as can be. Now, when you type it out, though, you see that, like, he that dwelleth, that's an I, not an L, so don't get mixed up with that. But there you go. I mean, how many of you are already doing this? A few, couple, one, two. This would help you and throughout the day, because you're to memorize or not memorize, you're to meditate on Scripture in the morning when you get up, throughout your day. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you go to bed at night. So you surround your day with Scripture. You keep it with you. There'll be opportunities throughout your day where you can take a 60-second break and just meditate on the Scripture. Okay. You've already been trying to do this, right? Let's do it together, okay? If you know it, it's easy. If you don't know it, this is out of the King James Version now. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now that's half of Psalm 91, 16 verses. Some of them you're more familiar with than others. So it's good to take one verse a week and just meditate. I've been doing that for several weeks now. I've been preaching on just one verse on Wednesday night, taking that one verse and meditating on it. And out of meditating on it, going over and over, the Lord shows me things. And I come in and I share them with you. Now, this is a good teaching tonight. This is going to be eye-opening to a lot of people. It's going to help you. We come to now the, actually we're down to verse 14. And in verse 14, the whole psalm changes. Before, it's us saying these things. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But now it's suddenly changed. And you can hear it in the voice of when you read this. And so now it's God speaking. God is talking now. So God is saying to us, because he or you have set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. This is God talking. I will set him on high because he's known my name. Now, this is God talking. Now, we have to understand something, especially when you read Old Testament. Things have changed. We're under a new covenant. A better covenant. Under the old covenant, you had to qualify for God's protection. You had to do certain things. You had to achieve certain things. But under the new covenant, you just receive because you've already been qualified in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? So God's protection now is received for you because Jesus has done everything perfectly for you. And you're in the new covenant with him when you're born from above. So when you look at this, though, taking the lens of the new covenant off and looking at it from the Old Testament perspective, you had to set your love upon God before he'd deliver you. Are you with me? You see that? Okay. In other words, you would have to love God. How would you know when you've loved him? How would you know that you know his name well enough to be protected? But now you put on the lens of the new covenant and you think of it this way. Who has loved God with all of his heart, and with all of his soul, with all of his mind and all of his strength and his neighbor as himself? Do you know anybody? You don't know anybody? You haven't loved God perfectly. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your... I haven't as much as I want to. I haven't. I've fallen short. Who has done that? Y'all about to start all over. Yeah. Jesus. The Son of God is the only one that qualified. He did it all. He loves the Father with all of his heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and he proved it by laying down his life. No man has ever been able to do that. This is the beautiful gospel that I get to share with you. It's not about our love for God. It's about his love for us. Whoa, makes a big difference. Amplified version says it this way. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. John 3:16. That he gave up his only begotten unique son. Hallelujah. So that whoever, what, believes, trusts in, relies on him, shall not perish or be lost, but have eternal life of God in them. Hallelujah. So it's not about me loving God. It's about God loving me. That's the gospel. Does that get you excited? You don't qualify by what you do. You qualify by what Jesus did. See, the emphasis of the new covenant is this. It's God's love for you, not your love for God. Because our love wavers sometimes, doesn't it? But God's love never, ever changes. I love this in 1 John 4:10. It says, in this is love. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. That's what love is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our love for God will always waver as human beings, but His love never wavers. I remember an old song a long time ago we used to sing. It went like this. It's actually a scripture out of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It goes like this. Some of you may know it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Let's see. How's the rest of it go? His, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God. Great is Thy faithfulness. Isn't that true, though? Think about it. His mercy, His love is constant. Whether you are or not, He is always on. Amen. I'm so grateful for the new covenant. I'm grateful I don't live under the old covenant. Oh, thank you for the new covenant made by Jesus, because it depends on God's faithfulness. And we know how faithful God is. Amen. So that brings me to this. Whenever you read Old Testament scriptures, even some portions of the New Testament, like in the Gospels, you got to read them with the lens of the new covenant. Otherwise, you'll fall back into legalism and think there's something you got to do, or religion. Now, let me ask you a question and think about it before you answer. When did the new covenant begin in your Bible? When did it begin? Everybody's afraid to answer a question. When do you think it began, Penny? Most people would say, well, it began right there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, that's true, but that's not the full truth. It began in the Gospels at the cross. When Jesus said, it's finished, what happened in the temple? The veil was torn, meaning now there's a new way. Now you have access into the Holy of Holies. You can come right in. At the cross, everything changed. So even some portions of the gospel, you're reading up to things, Jesus was under the law. He was under the old covenant until the cross. And so you have to see that. So when you read Old Testament scripture like Psalm 91, like this one right here, you might think, well, I've got to set my love on Him. Well, no, Jesus has already fulfilled all that. See, so when you read scripture, it's very important you understand, you look at things through the lens of the new covenant. So when we look at this scripture again, Psalm 91:14, because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I'll set Him on high because He's known my name. When you look at that, you would think that if I'm going to get protection from God, then I've got to love Him. So He'll deliver me. And in the old covenant, that was true. But the new covenant, everything has changed. The cross made the difference. Jesus achieved for us what we could not achieve, and that is loving God perfectly. He achieved it for us. Hallelujah. Now, some things stopped at the cross. I know you gave me a marker. There it is. Some things stopped at the cross. I mean, in the old covenant, there were a lot of things that you did, and when the cross happened, they stopped. The tabernacle, that was the place where you would meet with God. That stopped at the cross. We don't have the tabernacle anymore. Animal sacrifices. We don't sacrifice that. Did anybody bring a lamb or anything with them tonight? No, you don't bring animal sacrifices. That stopped at the cross, you see. And even the Feast of Israel, they were commanded to keep these feasts. And if you are Jewish, you still should keep them, but with the understanding that Jesus, that feast represents Jesus, and Jesus has fulfilled all the commandments. The Sabbath day. Jesus is the Sabbath day. It's finished. It's complete. And our rest is in Him. We don't have to keep the Sabbath. Jesus is the Sabbath. And we're not servants of God now. We become sons of God. A much better covenant. Are you with me? So things changed at the cross. Now, also, there are some things that stopped at the cross, but there's some things that began at the cross that they didn't have in the old covenant. The church. Church is not a building. It's not a tabernacle building. The church is people born again of the Spirit of God. There was no church prior to the cross. There was Israel, the Jewish people, the people of covenant, but there was no church like we have now. You are the body. You are the church, you see. Being born of the Spirit. There was no one born of the Spirit back in the Old Testament. They were, how did they get saved? By their faith in the grace that God was going to provide a Savior. In the same way that we look back by faith through grace that God has provided a Savior. Are you with me? See, no one was born of the Spirit. The Spirit wasn't given. Being led by the Spirit. Yeah, there was some degree of that. The prophets would prophesy and things like that. But nothing like you have today, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you're to seek God about everything and let the Spirit lead you in all of our choices that we have to make. We're sons, not servants of God. We're sons of God now. We're joint heirs with Jesus now. That was never before. Holy Spirit baptism. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anything like that in the old covenant. Happened after the cross. Speaking in tongues. The gifts of the Spirit. There was prophecy, but not like it is now in the new covenant, you see. Holy communion. You didn't take Holy communion. There was no Holy communion. And water baptism, you say, well, John the Baptist baptized, but his baptism was a baptism of repentance to get you ready for Jesus, see. And so now we're baptized in Christ Jesus, baptized into his death and his burial and resurrection, Romans 6, 7, and 8. Are you with me? And there were some things that actually went through the cross. Some things stopped at the cross. Some things began at the cross. But some things went through the cross, like obedience and faith. Abraham is called the father of the faith because he's the first one that God was teaching how to walk by faith, how to trust God, how to obey God. Walking by God, by the Spirit of God, was something that was in the Old Testament. Noah had to receive instructions from God. Enoch walked with God. Adam received instructions from God. And so that went through the cross. We still are supposed to walk with God and let the Spirit lead us. But now the Spirit's on the inside of us. And of course, the plans and purposes of God that began even before the world began, they went through the cross. They're going to be fulfilled and everything's going to be carried out. But then finally, there were some things that were transformed at the cross, changed. The Ten Commandments. Do we throw away the Ten Commandments? No. The Ten Commandments are transformed from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. Jesus illustrated that in the Sermon on the Mount. Like he'd say, well, you have heard that it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. And they said, well, that's right. We know that. That's the law. He said, but I say unto you that if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. See, he brought in, it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. It's the law, but it's been transformed. Are you with me? The curse of the law is transformed. We're not under curses anymore. Back under the law of sin and death, the old covenant, that if you didn't obey God in certain things, you had a curse on you. We're not under a curse. Jesus became a curse for us. God can't curse the ones that he's blessed. He wouldn't. So the curse has been transformed into chastening. Now, God does discipline his children, but it's not the same as a curse. Hallelujah. Big difference. Tithing. tithing was transformed from a law, even though it originally was not a law, but later on it was added into the Moses law. It was a law, and now it's been transformed into a principle of the kingdom. This is how God finances the kingdom. So, for example, if you don't tithe, you're not under a curse, because that would be under the old covenant. But you're not under the blessing either if you don't tithe. It's the principle of faith that God has operated. So these things were transformed at the cross. The Levitical priesthood. We don't have Levitical priests today. You had to be from the tribe of Levi to be a priest. We don't have that anymore. It's been changed into fivefold ministry. We have today apostles. That just means one sent. In that sense, I've been sent by God to come here to be the pastor of this church. God sent me here. He did. And he sent me. So in that sense, I operate in an apostolic way, just so you illustrate, so you know. There's prophet. The pointer finger represents the prophet. People do prophesy today. In fact, we're all told we can prophesy. But there's the office of a prophet, too. One who can see things that God just shows things to. Okay? And then there's the big middle finger, which represents the evangelist. And that's the office of an event. We all do evangelism. We all witness. But there is an evangelist. There's someone who's called to that office, is very gifted in that. And then we have the pastor, which is the ring finger, represents the shepherd. I'm a pastor. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm pastoring you. I'm being a shepherd to the sheep. I'm also a sheep. And Jesus is the great shepherd. So he gives these gifts to the church. And then finally, the little finger represents the teacher. And I'm doing that now as well. I'm teaching you things. Hopefully, I'm teaching you things that you did not know. And you go out here and say, well, I didn't know that. I learned something because I sat under a teacher that God has called and equipped to do this. So I say all this to show you that the cross brought us out of the law and into the grace of God. We ought to be eternally grateful right there. See, right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're born of the Spirit of God, the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you are as totally righteous as Jesus is. And because of that, you already qualify for all the promises of Psalm 91. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to set your love upon Him. Your love is set upon Him, and His love is set upon you through Jesus. Now, I went a long way around the barn to teach you that, so that when we look at this portion of Scripture, it's vital that we know we must look at it through the lens of the new covenant. Are you with me? Say it out loud with me, this verse. Because who is saying this? God is saying it to us. God is talking back to us now in this portion of the psalm. And He is the one that's making this clear. Because you set your love upon Me, I'm going to deliver you. Now, it's interesting to me. He says, because you have known My name. Interesting. And at the beginning of the psalm, we don't have time to go into it now. The very first verse, they mentions about three different names of God. The Almighty, the Elohim, the Creator, the El Shaddai, the Almighty, the covenant-keeping God is Yahweh or Jehovah. Many different names. And this is saying, because you've known My name, you got special protection. It's interesting that Jesus, in His high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 11, He's praying before He's about to go to the next day to the cross. And Jesus is saying, Father, keep through Your name those You have given to Me. Protect those You have given to Me through Your name. And it's interesting, that word keep that Jesus used is the word guard or protect. And so Jesus prayed that we would have the protection of the Father because we need it. Now, let me ask you this. So What is the name of God through which you will be guarded and protected? What name? Think about God for a moment. What name do you know about God that you would say, if I just say that name, I know I have supernatural protection because I'm His child? What would be the name? Father. Father. Because He's my Father. See, in the old covenant, nobody called God Father. Jesus came and called God Father, and when the disciples said, now, Lord, teach us how to pray like you pray, He said, will you call God this? Abba. Abba, Father. Ah, and because you know God intimately as Father, you're His child, it means automatically He's going to watch over His children. He's not a child abuser. He will watch over you and He'll protect you because He has a great love for you. Amen? In the old covenant, when Israel was in Egypt in slavery, and remember, God sent Moses, and told him the plagues, sent all the 10 plagues upon Egypt. And all the plagues came upon Egypt, but it didn't come on Israel, God's beloved, God's people. Even the plague of darkness, Israel lived in the land of Goshen. And when they had the plague of darkness come over all the land, and for 24 hours a day, everything's dark. In Israel, they had light. They were supernaturally protected from the plagues. God separated them and protected them in the land of Goshen. None of the plagues came on Israel. I believe this is true for you and I today, if you can accept it. If you can have the faith to believe that, I believe that stuff may be going on all around you. It may happen here, may happen 3 foot over here, but you have supernatural protection if you have the faith to believe. Several years ago, back when tornadoes came, back in about 1987, came through Tomato Hill Road over there on the Leesburg side. And we lived over there. We rented a house over there that side at that time. And the tornadoes came down from the top of Tomato Hill, and you could go over there the next day, and you could see it was like a plow. I mean, it pushed all these trees aside and tore up these trees here. It was a path coming down that hill right toward our house. And that tornado came, and it destroyed a house across from us, and a house that the houses are close there. I bet you that the house that was next door to us is probably about from me from here to Joe. That's about all the space we have in there. It's over where you guys live. That right there, Fern Circle. And the house right next to us wasn't more than 15 foot away, was completely destroyed. I mean, the roof lifted off, the walls caved in, everything came down. And we had very minor damage. We had some windows that were broken out, but we weren't even there when it happened. And before we got home, some people from the church came over and took care of it. They had the windows already replaced. I'm telling you, that's supernatural protection. We have witnessed that. We've experienced that. We believe that we're protected. When storms and stuff come, we believe that we're protected. We trust God. We call out to Him as our Father because we've known His name. He's our daddy. He's our Abba. He'll protect His children. Our part is to call upon Him and believe that we are protected. So we're His. He paid a high price for us. The blood of Jesus, His only begotten Son. So don't you think that if God paid that high price to save you from sin, that He's interested in your regular life, that He wants to protect you from disease and sickness and attacks and terrorist attacks and all those things? See, God wants us to make Him the first one that we run to when we have trouble. Not the second or third, and then we finally think about it later on. Well, okay, I'll ask God to help me now. He wants us to make God the first one. Are you with me? The first one. So here he says in verse 15, he goes on to say, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Is that true? God said he'll answer. He said, if you call upon me, I'll answer him. So what's your part? Call upon him. Help! That's a prayer. You know that? That's a prayer. That's called a flare prayer. You ain't got time to be religious and you ain't got time to be pretty. You just, help! Help, Jesus! I have heard stories and I've known people, and probably some of you can testify to people that you actually know that have been in harm's way in that very moment. In that very moment, they cry out. That's a cry. It's not a prayer. It's a cry. And God hears that cry like a mother would hear her baby cry in the nursery and can tell her child's different from any other child in there because she recognized the child's voice. And God hears your cry. And you know of stories where people have said, I've been in harm's way, or I was about to be robbed, or I was about to be attacked, or whatever like this. And I cried out, Jesus! That's all they can say. Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me! Jesus! And supernaturally, they were protected. I mean, I know of stories, and you do too, where that happens. God says, call upon me. I'll answer you. That's a definite, not perhaps I will, but I will. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. So you may have some trouble, but God says you're not alone. I'll be with you. I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. Huh, interesting. Interesting. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and I'll honor him. So whenever I'm bothered about something or worried about something, I talk to God about it. God, I'm bothered by this. I'm concerned about this. I don't know what to do. Or the enemy attacks my mind or something. And we do have troubles here in this life. In fact, we have probably more of it than people of the world who don't know Christ. We do have opposition. We do have attacks of the enemy. And you need to recognize and discern that some of the troubles you have are just simply harassment of the enemy. Paul had it from town to town he went to. Everywhere he went, he had trouble in that town. People would stir up trouble and stir up rumors about him and cause him trouble. We live in a dangerous world. I mean, what was the bombs that just went off over in England? Terrorist attacks. Then there are accidents and things that there's crazy people around us. There are. Just the other day, yesterday, my wife was coming out of Publix parking lot, and there was a fellow that, there's lots of folks that stand on the street corners asking, have a little sign asking for help and stuff like that, you know. And we help folks like that from time to time. I'm glad to do it as the Lord leads. But this fella wasn't standing on the corner with a sign. He was going up to the doors and knocking on the windows. Oh, wow. Hey, can you give me some money? Can you give me some money? And ladies, you don't open your windows. Amen. You don't open your windows. You be wise as serpents, harmless as dove. And he was knocking on his, and she said, no. And he said, well, just a dollar. She said, no. She said, well, 50 cents. She said, no. Well, he finally went away. So when she told me about it, it made me mad. I wanted to go out there and jack his jaw. That's my flesh, but I wanted to jack his jaw because that's harassment. Well, I'll tell you a little bit of that side point. She called 911, which, she called 911. You don't know what this guy going to do. So he's got enough nerve to be banging on your window and keep on. She called 911, and guess what happened? They put her on hold. That's the truth. So you called Jesus first. He will never put you on hold. Call Jesus first. That's true. I mean, you think that's a joke? They did. They said, can you hold, please? And the lady called her right back. But call now. I heard that as a joke before. You got to be kidding me. No. You call Jesus first. Jesus, help me. I wonder what would happen. You'll never know until you do it. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. God's saying, I will do this. And then I'll honor him. How will God honor you in a situation like this? He wants to honor you. Probably by delivering you. Maybe by not delivering somebody else who's right next to you. The same thing happened to them, but he delivers you. He honors you. And somehow people will notice you've got the favor of God on your life. And they're going to say this to you. Oh, you're lucky. And what are you going to say? That ain't luck. It's the blessing of the Lord. That's right. They're going to say you're lucky because that's the world's way of doing things. But you're not lucky. You're blessed with the favor of God, including supernatural protection. Now, I rewrote Psalm 91. I got the idea from my friend Tom here the other day, and he gave me that idea. So I rewrote part of this, and I want to make it into our personalized prayer. And if you want a copy of that, you can go to our website. The notes should be on there, and you can print that out here. Let's all stand up, and if you can, it's small print, so if you can't see that, you just pray in tongues. Here we go. Personalized prayer of Psalm 91. Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the devil and from his wicked destructions. My Father covers me with protection, and under him I'm safe. I will not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the attacks by day. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not touch me. Only with my eyes will I experience the reward of the wicked. Because the Lord is my refuge, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come to my house. God has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I have been given authority to tread upon all the power of the enemy. My Father has set his love upon me and will deliver me because I know he is my Father. When I call upon him, he answers me and is with me in my troubles and will deliver and honor me. And with long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. That's true of you. This is yours. God wrote this in the book for you. It's the written word so it can be the spoken word. And it's important for you to speak this over your family, over your wife, over your children, over your grandchildren. Just lift your hands and just praise him right now. Thank you, Father. I have supernatural protection that I didn't even know. Thank you, Father. Supernaturally, you are with me. You are for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Psalm 91. Help me to apply it to my life. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Drive home safe.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.